In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen. There are many people in our world today that identify with the words of this psalm, "Keep me safe, O God." Tsunami, earthquake, war, landmine, suicide bomber, all grab for the attention of the reporter, the headlines, the newscasts, while the victims are left but a whisper of this prayer, "Keep me safe, O God." Moral and ethical questions, living wills, death with dignity campaigns, abortion rights, all intensify the need for this prayer, "Keep me safe, O God." Surgery, sickness, death, all leave their marks, if not on our lives, at least on those of some family member or a friend. "Keep me safe, O God." Uncertainty about the future, be it next week, next month, next year, can shove our lives, our bank accounts, and even our nerves to the very breaking point. "Keep me safe, O God." And if that's not enough, there are always our puny attempts to control our lives that usually end in guilt, worry, anxiety as self-inflicted wounds. "Keep me safe, O God." Our path through life is cluttered and pitted by dangers and by death. It's been that way ever since the days of Genesis, when sin began collecting wages and humanity's existence became a death march to the grave. The obituary column of the world reads the same for everyone. He was born, he lived for a while, he raised his children, and then he died. And that's it for him, except for maybe a few memories, and even they evaporate. We may ignore it, disguise it, even deny it, but death remains a fact of life. Not some decades down the road, but right here and now and all throughout life. We are always in its shadow as we live, work, and strive to get as much as we can before time runs out. Death is public enemy number one, and it is the most important and pressing problem that we have to deal with. And the way we deal with that problem determines how we deal with the other one, the problem of life. The truth is, we don't deal with that problem very well. We can't of ourselves deal with death, but God does. David records the promise in this psalm, "My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay." And on Pentecost, Peter uses this psalm as his sermon text, as he proclaims, "Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we are kept safe from eternal death and from Satan's destruction. Because Christ's body did not see decay but was raised, we are promised the resurrection of our own bodies. And this means that Christ's resurrection is all about life. Our life in Christ right now. His resurrection jettisons the small life we have clung to and confronts us with an overhaul of our loyalties, our values, our priorities, and even our puny attempts to control our lives. Christ's resurrection throws us into an entirely new world where it is no longer possible to spend and be spent in search of some temporary comforts or in nurturing delightful prejudice and judgments that seem to make us bigger, or in playing God at the controls of life with all the anxious moments that game brings when we suspect that we may not be big enough. The resurrection gospel strips us of all of our carefully designed defenses and lays the hand of God upon us for a life much larger than the one we've carved out for ourselves. No wonder David's words, "The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." And Christ's resurrection sets us on the path of life. The guilt you carry in your heart as you remember the anxious years and wasted years, the resurrection says that our Lord has paid for it. He has removed it. You need no longer nurture it. The chains of evil habit, the heart, the cesspool of the heart, thick with the green scum of envy, greed, lust, hatred, jealousy, selfishness, the resurrection of our Lord says that he has cleansed us of all of that. The hungry yearning burning inside of us, the empty void, the dark despair when someone near and dear to us has been removed from the earthly scene, the resurrection says that Christ has come to fill that void with hope. The fear of aging, accident, disease, and death, the clicking of the clock, the resurrection of our Lord says that he has made it possible for us to live triumphantly with purpose and determined goal. The uncertainty about tomorrow and the anxious waiting for a medical report or for April 27. The resurrection says that our Lord has wrapped tomorrow into his concern, and we are free to live today. That's where Christ's resurrection places us. Life can never be the same. Someone has taken us by the hand and is with us all throughout eternity, and he will never let us go. How can he? His name is Jesus, and he has given us himself. And all we need to know is that his word is sure. Keep me safe, O God. He has, he will, and he does. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.